I entitled the message, God Gives A for Effort. And this, I hope, will be something that will encourage the hearts of many of you this morning who might be listening to our program. I often feel for preachers who try very hard, and it seems that they have a very difficult time in their church getting members and raising budgets and getting people to attend their church. And other churches look at them who are much larger, and they talk about this preacher and say, well, you know, he's not a good preacher. He can't preach, and he's not a good mixer, and his church is dying, and he's just not a winner. He's a loser. And that always hurts me to have that label placed on a preacher. He's a loser because he's not able to build a gigantic building and build a great size congregation. Or you have a pianist in your church who's doing the very best he or she can. Self-taught, probably a few lessons, and they make a few mistakes and they can't play the more complicated hymns, but they try. And for a while, it's the only person in your church that can play the piano. And then one day enters a person who is a concert pianist and can just make the keys dance. And everybody is just totally awe-stricken by the ability and talent of this one who has now entered their church. And they go to the one who has played for the years and say, listen, this other person is so much better than you are, and it would add so much to our worship service. We want you to step down and allow this person who has all this great training and ability to play the piano in our place. I feel sorry for that person who's done their best, but it nearly wasn't good enough to suit the majority of the people. And somebody comes along that can do a better job, and you're classified a loser, poor, unable to do a good job, and you're set aside. I don't know if you have any identification this morning with somebody like I have just mentioned, either the preacher or somebody who plays the piano. There are a lot of people today who see themselves to be failures, and it's not much fun in thinking about yourself in that category. I ran across a prayer the other day. A little boy had written to God, and the title of the prayer was, Did You Ever Fail, Lord? I want to read it to you. No one pays any attention to me or what I say, Lord. I'm nobody, I guess. I haven't done anything important or made anything or won anything. No one listens when I talk. No one asks my opinion. I'm just there like a window or chair. I tried to build a boat once, but it fell apart. I tried to make the baseball team, but I always threw past third base. I wrote some articles for our school paper, but they didn't want them. I even tried out for the school play, but the other kids laughed when I read my lines. I seem to fail at everything. I don't try anymore, God, because I'm afraid to fail, and no one likes to fail all the time. Did you ever fail, Lord? There are a lot of people today like that little boy, and they grow up to keep that same feeling all the rest of their life. They have what we call the failure complex. How did we get so many nobodies and so few somebodies? Don't really know how it ever happens. But few fail to realize, I guess, that it probably got started as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. At that time, people became rivals instead of friends, became competitors. Now everybody tries to outdo the other and tries to put the other person down. One tries to shine, the other makes the other, tries to make the other person look bad. Not only did this create fertile soil also for jealousy and envy, but it also created the problem of depression based upon performance or the lack of. We are constantly reminded of the existence of winners and losers, of the haves and the have-nots. You can go visit in some homes, and there you will find a number of trophies up on the mantelpiece or the fireplace. I don't know about you, but I'll make a confession. I don't have any trophies. I never won anything like that. I never played any sports. You have to do something, I guess, and excel to get a trophy. My name has never been in lights. No one ever runs up and asks for my autograph. And whether we like it or not, we are forced into that system we call today comparisons and competition and rivalry. You can't get around it. It's there. From childhood up, we are programmed to compare ourselves with the best. Compare ourselves with the champions. And oftentimes we're expected to imitate them, duplicate whatever they can do, and if we do not succeed, we are called failures. There is a pressure put upon us today to win, to be number one, and there is no second place trophies. And when we lose, well then of course we're labeled failures. Nobody likes to be labeled a failure. And the vast majority of people, I really believe, fall in that category where most people would say, as they are compared to others, you're a failure. There's a lot of frustration in our land today. We can't keep up. There's always those who are better than us, always those who can outperform us, and thus, when we compete with them, they are the winners and we are the losers. There are home failures abounding today. Think of all the losers. 50% of the marriages end divorce. Success? No. Failures. There are financial failures in every area of our economic system. There are people who have mental failures. There's prophecies of doom and despair and hopelessness heard throughout our land based on the same problem. I failed. I did not succeed at what I aimed to accomplish and what I tried to do. As comparisons are made and competition gets more fierce, more and more people end up in depression. And as the little boy said, I give up. I'm just going to quit trying. I don't try anymore because I'm going to fail. Now, that's in the world in which you and I live. Sad to say, some people, maybe the majority of people who call themselves Christians, try to bring this same standard system of competition and comparisons into the church family. And I say, brothers and sisters, that is absolutely wrong. You have no right to do that. You have no right to compare pianists. You have no right to compare preachers. You have no right to compare Sunday school teachers. You have no right to do this. In God's family, we must not make comparisons. But we're going to do it. We're not saying anything about it or not. Church people will treat you just like the people of the world treat you. They'll put you in the category whether you're good, whether you're successful, whether you're winsome, whether you're influential, whether you're talented, and the winners and the losers again in the church will be based upon this. Those who will be honored and will be praised will be based on the matter of how successful are they at their job. How successful are they as servants of the Lord? Now, we try to make people think that God has a family of two groups of people, the losers and the winners, the failures and the successful. That's not true. I want to get the record straight, and I may say this several times, hoping it will soak in. God has children who are unfaithful, but God has no children who are failures. That may be one you're going to have to think about. God has children who are unfaithful, but He has no children who are failures. Salvation puts every child of God on the very same level. And there will, in God's eyes, be no comparisons, there will be no competition, and there will be no rivals whatsoever. As one little boy said, God don't make no junk. Bad grammar, but good truth. God don't make no junk. God don't make no losers. God makes only winners. And you can be unfaithful. All right, I'll talk about this in a minute. But you can be unfaithful, but God does not make junk. God does not give a born-again person an opportunity to end up being a loser. You cannot have this in the Christian family. It is impossible for a Christian to honestly, if he understands God's concept of new birth, it's impossible for him to have a poor self-image. Now, I can have a poor self-image of my physical ability as I compete with football players and so forth. But when I get to the spiritual realm and I look at my newborn spirit, that I can honestly say there's no reason in the world I ought to have a poor self-image. I am just as equipped in my new birth as any other Christian on the face of the earth. I am not superior. I am not inferior. I am absolutely exactly just like every other born-again Christian. Now, I'm not talking about physical talents. I'm talking about spiritually. I am on the same par level with every other Christian. So there's no reason for me to have a poor self-image as I look at the born-again person that I have been made. In God's eyes, every child of His is a doer. There's no such thing as a winner or a loser. There's only a doer or an unfaithful person. That's the way it looks in God's eyes. In Matthew 25:20-21, "And he that received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, talking about a servant now. He said, boy, that guy is successful. I mean, he doubled what God invested in him. And he said, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. I have gained another 5. And the Lord said, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I want you to notice what God rewards him for, not his successful duplication or 5 additional benefits. He says, here's what I reward you for. You have been faithful. You have been faithful. Therefore, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." God, or Jesus Christ here, places the emphasis not on the man's success, but on the man's faithfulness. You just be what God wants you to be. And you just do what God wants you to do. And you are exactly what God says you are here. You're successful. Do not think about the consequence. Do not say, well, this guy had 5-fold victory. No, you don't want to focus on that. He could have gotten the same comment from Jesus, the same appraisal, had he said, Lord, I invested 5 of your talents and got nothing. Lost all 5. Failed to succeed all 5 ways. Jesus would have still said to him the very same thing. Thou hast been faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In the Christian walk, folks, it's never the result. It's always the effort that God bases a thing upon whether or not it's worth reward or not. Look at yourself and your worth in this light. You can be unfaithful, but you cannot lose. If you just obey God to the best of your ability, then you are, in God's eyes, successful. All the results that your efforts do will have to be something God Himself undertakes as His obligation. God says, I'll be responsible for whether a thing gains or does not gain the desired result. All you do is just do the thing I asked you to. Whether or not it turns out profitable, whether or not it turns out desirable, whether or not it gains one good thing at all, God says, don't worry about that. That is my problem. And by the way, when something is accomplished by what you do, I get all the credit. None ever goes to you. So if you ever win, I'm the one that has given you the victory. So I get the credit. All you are supposed to do is just be obedient. Now, you can be unfaithful and disobey, but when it comes to being successful in the eyes of God, the only thing you really can do is just be faithful. Now, I know a person who tries to play the piano and does not have a real talent does not make pretty music. I agree with you there. But in the eyes of God on the day of judgment, their effort at doing the best they can will be just as rewarded as that concert pianist who never misses one note and can play any song you put in front of them. And God's eyes are on an equal level as far as faithfulness. And I'm talking about now the way God is going to judge us and the way God looks at His children. He does not say, well, there is my talented child who can do so much and brings me so much pleasure, and there's my child who can do so little and brings me so little pleasure. God does not do that. That one pianist who plays very poorly can bring just as much joy to the Lord as a concert pianist and all their talent and excellent piano playing. There's no difference in the eyes of God. One, your sole duty is just do the right thing that God asks of you, and that makes you successful. That makes you a winner. Among the 12 disciples of Jesus, one was known as James, who was the brother of John. You might not know that there was also another James who was a disciple, and he ended up with the name James the Lesser. How would you like to have a name like that? James the Lesser. You see, that's sort of degrading to be called the lesser as compared to the greater. He was not lesser in value. He was not lesser in ability. He was just less known than the brother of John. He also had a lesser role to play as one of the disciples of Jesus. All of us are not cut out by God to do the same things. Not all of us all have the same gifts. He was not called James the Unsuccessful. He was not called James the Failure. John 4, chapter 31, Jesus, giving this story. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And here is that saying true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereof you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are now entering into their labor. By the world's standards, if you sow and you do not reap, then you regard yourself a failure. Jesus saying here, there have been those who have sowed and did not reap, and you came along and reaped, but you not sow. You got some benefits from them they did not get. Well, do you call the sower a failure because they did not reap? No. Jesus makes it clear, I don't do that. Jesus says the sower was just as successful as the reaper, and the reaper as the sower. Why? Because both were faithful. The man who sowed the seed was faithful. It didn't come up. It didn't sprout. It didn't produce. But he was faithful. And that's all God asked of the people in his family. Just be faithful. Now the church world's going to say, yeah, but he didn't get a great crop. He didn't duplicate a hundredfold. He didn't have all this success. That doesn't matter to God. Shouldn't matter to us. We shouldn't judge each other on this basis. All you have to ask the question is, as you look at your brother, is he faithful? Is she faithful? Are they doing the best? If they are, brethren, they are not losers. They are as successful as you can be as a Christian. It's not the expertise, it's not the quality, it's just the faithfulness. Jesus implies both. Tried, the sower and the reaper. And because they try, they are both successful. All we're concerned about is just obeying the law of God, obeying His command, doing His will, and leaving the rest up to Him. Whether or not it succeeds, whether or not something is accomplished, is not our problem. It is His. He takes that responsibility and takes it off of our shoulders. I do not have to produce anything to be successful in His eye. I don't have to win. I don't have to succeed. I only have to try. I only have to do what I can do. I only have to be faithful. That's all God asked. That's all I'm expected to do. The little boy seemingly never understood this about being a part of God's family. So I don't try anymore because I'm afraid to fail. You can't fail as a child of God, you can be unfaithful, but you can't fail. All you have to do to succeed is just simply try. All you have to do is do the best you can. That's all God asks of us. Paul compares us to many parts of the body. I'm saying that no part of my body would I regard to be of no value. All I ask of any part of my body to be successful is just to do what God designed it to do. That's all I ask. That's all I want. My eyelid has never accomplished any great thing in my life. It never has. But all I ask for my eyelid to do to be successful is just open and close when I want it to. And I say, boy, I have one successful eyelid. But it has never built buildings. It has never done anything fantastic. It has just been faithful. And that's all I ask of it. Just be faithful. And it is getting my attention. It is getting my reward. It is getting my praise. I'm thankful for it. But all it's doing is just doing what it's supposed to do. It's not accomplishing anything, but it does do what it was designed to do. One of the parables, Jesus speaks of the Christians as being a pearl of great price, implying that Jesus sees in all of his people something of great worth. Immediately we try to start comparing, well, our abilities and our talents and our educations and so forth. No, that's not what he sees of value. Our faithfulness is what is of value to him. What others think of me and you and of our abilities and of our accomplishments. You know, somebody says, oh, I won 30 people to Jesus. You didn't win one person, Jesus. The Holy Spirit must draw them. The Holy Spirit must convict them. The Holy Spirit must convert them. I mean, you don't win anybody to Jesus. Now, you can be faithful and expose them to the gospel truth. You can do that. But you can't win anybody to Jesus. Because that's the work only God can do. But you can be faithful. You can speak to them the best you know how, with all the knowledge you have, you can do the best you can. And that is faithfulness. That is success. But that's all you can do. So, what others think of, you know, my track record. I don't have a track record. It's either faithful or unfaithful. That's the only track record you and I have, faithful or unfaithful. That's all we can have. What God thinks of you really is all that should matter. Not what somebody else says as they look at your record and say, well, you're not doing very good. If you're being faithful, folks, you're doing as good as you can do. You can't improve on that. That's it. And when God gives out A's, it's always for effort. I know it doesn't start with A, but it's always for effort. A for effort. And that's the only grade God gives. It's either A or unfaithful, that's F. Failure. Failure to be faithful. That's all you have. That's what an F is. Failure to be faithful. And the only grade he gives is A. And if you try, you get A. Now, in school, if you try, you can flunk. If you don't get the right answers. I mean, but with God, if you try, you got an A. It's either A or F. All right? So don't judge yourself an F, a failure, if God judges you a success. Based on the question of faithfulness or unfaithfulness, don't get off that as being the one thing on which you judge the issue. Did you try? Did you do your best? God says, give him an A. Oh, but he didn't succeed. Give him an A. He didn't accomplish anything. Give him an A. I like God's grading system. I really do. So nowhere does the Bible ever say a Christian has to be successful to be acceptable and to be rewarded. Did you know that there will be no rewards given by God for accomplishments? The only awards God will ever give will be for faithfulness. That's it. Faithfulness. Somebody says, well, God will give him a great reward because he built a $5 million church. Nope. God will give him a reward for being faithful. That's it. Not for building a $5 million church. There is reward for faithfulness. There is no reward for accomplishments. So therefore, don't hesitate doing the will of God out of fear of failure. That has no bearing whatsoever on faithfulness. So just be faithful and get yourself an A. That's the way God is going to grade us.